Hello there, my name is McNeil and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about movies. We talk about movies that are currently playing in the theaters and topics related to cinema. If you like this type of content, be sure to follow my podcast on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also support my podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. Before the episode starts, here is a disclaimer. This episode will be the last episode in the Journey to Black Widow series for the time being. Due to the coronavirus, Black Widow has been delayed indefinitely. Once Black Widow gets a new release date, I will resume the Journey to Black Widow series accordingly. You can stay updated with these circumstances by following this podcast on Instagram at mcneil.ann.friends.podcast. In the meantime, I'm going to be doing another series called Movie Screen Quarantine, where I will talk about a wide variety of topics regarding movies. I'm sorry for this inconvenience this may cause, and I'm looking forward to finishing the Journey to Black Widow series. Now, enjoy the episode. What's up, everybody? Today is my new episode in a series called Journey to Black Widow. What I'm doing is I'm watching one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie a week in chronological order leading up to Black Widow. So if you enjoy Marvel movies and enjoy being a geek like me, watch one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie a week and tune in to each episode. Today, I'm here with my friend, Tim.
Dude, so good to be here, man. Loving this stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here today. So, Tim and I know each other through some guys I play in a band with, and I didn't know until recently that you're a huge comic book movie fan.
Oh, man, I love them. I love them. My brother and I grew up collecting comic book cards, mainly Marvel. We would go with my dad. There was like a card shop in New York that we hung out at, and we would pick up cards, different sets, probably like six or seven different sets, probably worth a good bit of money right now.
Yeah.
That we still have, my parents have up where they live right now in Wisconsin. But we were able to figure out different characters because of those cards. They would say like their superpowers, what they were good at, what they, you know, what they enjoyed, even to the point of like what comic book they first appeared in and that kind of stuff too. So we totally got engrossed in that. We would watch the X-Men animated series when it come out on Saturdays. We were just totally engrossed with it. And then when these Marvel movies started getting huge and coming out, we'd just go to see everyone, as many as we could, and just enjoy them completely.
Yeah. I have a friend where we just kind of watched all the Marvel cartoons and we went to comic book stores and all this stuff. The same things like when the movies came out, we were super pumped, you know?
Yes, yes.
But my brother and I were just like, when we were little, it was just Power Rangers. And that was really about it.
Well, Power Rangers is pretty dope too, back then.
Yeah, and they had the movie and we went and we were excited, and now they're not doing anything else with them.
Exactly, right?
But so today we're talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier. This is a pretty awesome movie, I think.
It's one of the best. This definitely ranks in the top five easily.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Easily.
So do you remember the first time you saw it?
Yes, I went with my brother. I remember because we had seen the previews. And we like to, I think you had mentioned on your podcast too, that you like to predict sometimes who it was, what things happen. And already knowing some of the backstory, we predicted right away, Winter Soldier, Bucky, it's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
You can kind of see it kind of rolling through there. We were not a fan of Captain America, First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comic book cards that we collected, Captain America wasn't a huge guy. We were kind of more on the X-Men mutant side, and we loved to watch, you know, obviously X-Men animated series, but we were into them getting their abilities just naturally or by mutation, as opposed to how Captain America got them. So we're kind of like, he's kind of a cheesy dude, whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't like the makeup of First Avenger. So we were just kind of like, well, we wanted to watch it just because we like Marvel.
Right.
Winter Soldier, we saw the previews, we're like, okay, I'm going to check this one out. My brother and I went nuts in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of there's just many different things that totally pulled us in, and that just the action and how the characters were developed and the different iconic things that happened in there were just a great setup. And then watching it again before coming to this podcast was huge because I saw more things that I didn't see before.
I've seen that with all of these movies, going back and watching this, crazy.
Oh, it's great. So that's that I do remember that first time, and I remember coming out of there absolutely stoked. Even in the end scene, because my brother and I think I actually went with my brother, and some of my students went as well.
Okay.
And they didn't understand the end scene, And so I brought them into the lobby.
Are you talking about like the post-credit scene?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
With Wando and Pietro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to explain to them how that all fit together with Magneto and this kind of thing. And they were like, what? I didn't know that. I was like, yeah, this is going
to
be super
And now
cool.
They have the rights to X-Men.
Yes.
So maybe we'll see like something with how Wanda can connect with Magneto if they decide to go down that path. But that'd be pretty cool.
Yes, I'm hoping that. I hope that for sure. That'd be great.
I want to see the X-Men mm-hmm. in this universe and yeah. the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yes.
Those are, I love the Fantastic Four.
They got to redo that one.
The last movie was one of the worst movies yes. I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh,
it's
man.
Terrible. The originals get too much hate, but they're not great.
Yeah.
They need to do them right,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
But yeah, I saw this one. It came out in 2014, so I was 14. Every time I do this, it's like, you can go back and say 2008. I was 8. I was born in 2000. So it's like the math is super easy. But yeah, I was 14. I was with two of my friends. And just like you, I wasn't super big on Captain America. I like Spider-Man. He's one of my favorites. I like Ant-Man. I like Iron Man. Black Widow, obviously. But Captain America, I always kind of thought he was boring. Mm-hmm. Then I saw this one. And I remember like posting something on Instagram like a dummy. And I was like, this is the best comic book movie ever. Everybody go see this
yes.
thinking with like the 20 followers I had at the time right. or something. And it was, I was just blown away. I was not expecting to like it that much,
yes.
but I did. I think it's a great movie and there's not really many like it mm-hmm. because it's more like I hear the term political thriller a lot for this one, which I totally see.
Yeah, I can understand.
And because you got all like the SHIELD stuff going on with like the corruption with Hydra.
Yes.
Some government things are pretty big in the plot. So it's pretty interesting. What do you think about all that?
Oh, I think that's definitely that. I forget the word you use, political.
Political like, thriller.
Yeah, thriller, easily.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the corruption, a lot of that stuff in there, and it interspersed between, especially one of those end scenes where they're all sitting at kind of like looking at that mainframe area, and they're all just kind of pointing guns at each other, like, who's going to make the first move? Standoff there, and you know, it kind of goes to chaos, but it was that definitely sits in here very well, and it does a yeah. great setup for Civil War.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and it's kind of like the only one that has this tone with like all 23 of these movies, you know, like if you look at a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok,
yes,
just a goofy space movie, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
And then you've got Captain America Civil War, which is like a political thriller, and they're in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But yeah, I did see it a second time in the theaters with another group of friends. And I guess I was either in eighth grade or a freshman in high school or something like that. And they were being super annoying. And I cared about the movie so much where I just went and sat in the front row so I wouldn't have to hear them.
Yes.
So I could watch the movie.
Yes.
It was pretty great, except with them there talking.
Not them being there. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But what I did was awesome.
Yes.
But yeah, so one of the things that when I first saw it that I noticed I liked so much about it was the action.
Yes.
Like, I think it has some of the best action ever in this whole universe.
Oh, it's incredible. That definitely got it. One of the biggest iconic scenes that I remember with my brother that we talked about as soon as we left the theater was when they're on the bridge and Captain America kind of, he doesn't meet Winter Soldier for the first time. He'd seen him before, didn't know who he was.
Right.
But they finally engage each other. And there's a fight, and he pulls out the knife, and they're whipping it all over the place.
Yes.
Captain America blocks him. He flips the knife out of his hand, catches it with his other, and they continue fighting. I was like,
the choreography with the fighting in this movie is incredible.
Yes,
and it's like every action scene has some form of hand-to-hand combat in it, and it's like, it's just super cool to watch.
Yes.
Because usually you got big explosions going on in these movies, some giant, in a form of weapon like mm-hmm. that Iron Man has, and it's just kind of like machines or aliens or something like that. But this was like real.
Yes.
You know, it's like more like a spy kind of vibe.
Yes.
Like Mission Impossible, that type of action.
And that's, I think that's what brought me into it too. And I loved it so much is the humanity side of it. It
yes.
wasn't necessarily all these really cool gadgets and stuff. It was, hey, this is human about it. And we're going to bring the humanity
yeah.
out of it. Yeah. We have these cool things that we're going to add in as little fillers, but listen, they're going hand. I mean, from one of the first scenes when Captain America jumps on the boat and he's looking at the guy and he's like, I thought you were a man without a shield. And he's like, all right,
drops the shield.
He's ready to go. And
yeah.
I was like, that's what I want.
That fight scene is awesome. That's one of my favorites. Everything about that opening sequence, or like it's not the opening sequence, but it's like the first action sequence in the movie. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part about that is when he just skydives down off the plane straight into the ocean.
Yes.
And one of the guys was like, did he have a parachute?
He's like,
and
no.
He's like, no, of course he didn't. He's Captain America. It's not going to hurt him. And exactly. He just goes straight into the water. And I always wonder, like, how many feet did he just go down? You know,
just straight up.
His ears must have been popping.
Yeah, that was incredible. I think one of the coolest parts about this movie as well that I picked up on, even several times that I watched, is how iconic the shield became and how he uses it throughout.
Yeah.
So he jumps on that ship and he's bouncing all over the place. If I feel like they didn't use it as much in the first one, in First Avenger, mm-hmm. probably because they had to do a lot of setup.
Right.
But him throwing shield everywhere, using it, blocking things, thrown all over the place was really huge as far as like his item to fight with. And yeah. he only got rid of it by choice. And so when he fought that one guy on the ship, he put it down to go hand to hand. He threw it down. And the only other time that it seemed to be a problem was when he first threw it at the Winter Soldier and he turned around and caught it with his arm.
Yes. And that seems like, incredible.
Yeah. I was like, oh snap, what just happened? He can't use the shield. And he throws it back at him and he pulls it back and he's like, oh snap.
So, and like, when he caught it, it seemed like he like went into his stomach kind of and kind of knocked yes. the breath out of him too. You know, he was like, oh no, like yes. I'm overpowered. Oh, who yeah. is this guy?
Yeah. I love how throughout the movie they use that shield. He keeps going back to the shield. They go to the elevator scene, flips the shield back up last thing. He jumps out of the elevator. He's using it, shield, 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 all over the place, except for when he meets with Bucky. And when he uses it against yeah. Bucky, like it's just like, it's not working. It's not working. And even at the very end, he's like, I'm not going to fight you. Throws the shield off. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope. Don't want to use it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna use it on you.
Now, as you say that, like, you kind of can point that at like other superheroes too that have used a shield, like Spider-Man and his entrance in Civil War. And then Captain America was kind of like, oh, like this dude like webbed up my hands and now he's got the shield.
Yeah.
And then in Avengers, this is like super quick. I talked about it the last episode or one of the past couple episodes where he encounters Iron Man super quick. Iron Man just like flies down, beams his shield, and then just goes away. And they just like knocked out like four aliens like that. It was
yes.
super cool.
I do remember you talking about that. And I think it was Avengers you guys
yeah.
recently did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Avengers, I remember that one was definitely with the shield in combination mm-hmm. with other people, like a team up kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's like it's either they team up with him and use it, or like Winter Soldier has really been the only one to like actually overpower him with the shield.
Yes.
What would have been really cool in Endgame is like when he took Mjolnir, if Thor took the shield.
Oh,
that would have been cool.
That would have been epic.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. When he like they swapped the hammers, he was
yes.
like, no, you take the little one.
Yeah.
If he like just gave him his shield, he was like, yeah, just go for it.
Right.
You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Right? That would
but,
be sweet.
Yeah, so do you have like a favorite action scene in this movie?
I would have to say it's probably that scene. Well, it'd have to be between two. So the first encounter with Winter Soldier when he blows up the Suburban that Nick Fury is
yes.
driving. Like he throws the thing underneath. You don't know what's going on. All of a sudden it blows up. He just steps to the side, nonchalant, looking around like,
yeah.
yep, that's what I'm doing. Walks over like he owns the place, you know, rips a door off. Or I forget what he does there, but like it's like, oh, snap.
He probably ripped
the
door off.
Right? And I think Fury burns a hole underneath, goes through the manhole
yeah.
and gets out and gets away. There's that like whole sequence where he's trying to evade. Everybody loves some car chases.
I
he's
love
trying to get out of there.
The one you just talked about.
Yes.
I love that scene. The thing that stuck out to me most about that one is that shot where the car, you know, it kind of like flips and it's like almost in slow-mo, but not quite.
Yes.
And like you said, he just like stepped over nonchalant, you know, which was awesome. And he's like, he's super intimidating in that one scene,
yes.
you know?
Yeah. That was one of my favorites, as well as when they finally get to the bridge. Cause he's driving with, the one guy they kidnapped from Hydra
mm-hmm.
and it's him and Falcon and Black Widow and they're driving. He's like, what are we going to do when we get to him? He's like, we got to do retina scan. We're going to be good. We're going to be able to get into it. And then all of a sudden you see the hand come out, grab the guy, rip him away and throw him into like an oncoming semi. And
yeah.
then it just goes crazy.
Yeah.
They get hammered by a Hummer. There's just bullets everywhere. They're trying to escape. Captain America gets thrown off, blown. I think once again, the shield blocks, but he just gets blown off the bridge.
Yeah.
He gets hit into different things, causes mayhem. And they're just, everybody's going everywhere. Incredible.
Yeah.
Scene.
The bridge fight scene is pretty cool. I can't pick a favorite. I don't think like that one's cool. The one with Winter Soldier and Fury towards the beginning. The one at the end, which has probably the most depth behind it, because he knows it's Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Winter Soldier doesn't know it's him. But then, like, the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
The elevator.
I totally
one.
Forgot about that.
That one is awesome. Oh. And then they, you know, they hint, they call back at that one in Endgame.
Yes.
And it's like super smooth how they played that one out.
See, but, yes. Seeing that from Endgame and then going back to watch it, and I was like, you could have just looked at them, said Hail Hydra, and just kept rolling.
Yep.
But, you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And, he sees all the guys going, but I think it's super cool when he's like, all right, guys, before we get started, does anyone want to get out? You know? And
yeah.
And you're just yeah. like, oh, it's going down here.
And he took out every single dude yes. in that elevator alone.
So good.
I don't, like, that's, and then he just jumps out of it. Like, they think, they're like, you can't go anywhere. He's like, watch me. Jumps right. out, falls however many floors straight on through. His shield. I was watching that movie with my parents. My mom goes, how did he survive that? And I said, Mom, he's a super soldier. He's Captain America.
Yes, right.
What, like, what other explanation do you yeah, need?
Nothing else to work with.
Yeah.
That's all. And yeah, and then watching, like, I think it was, I forget who it was. It was the end of, it was a guy that ended up kidnapping that was like, he's headed for the garage, close out, you know, close mm-hmm. it down. And they're all trying to get him. And he's just like, nope, I'm Captain America. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep rolling here. This is just, that was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah. But there are, I think every fight scene in this movie is great.
Yes.
They're all fantastic. Yes. So that's why I think it's why it's so hard for me to pick one, because I like things about all of them. But I think the one that really sticks out to me the most, it's not necessarily my favorite, but it sticks out to me the most, is the one where Winter Soldier encounters Nick Fury for the first time. I really thought he died.
Yeah, right?
I Dude, really did.
No, I was in that too. There was a lot of just like very intense scenes where I was like, you're really going to kill off that superhero right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you want to do
yeah.
that. You can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's why, like, I talked about, I think I probably talked about this in, I don't remember which episode I talked about this in, but I like dark movies a lot.
Yes.
And when they kill a character off and take a risk like that, I love it.
Yes.
It sounds weird.
No, but you're right, though. 100%. I think that's what brought me into this one, because Captain America was such always the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
The good American, but he was portrayed in this one as like the fugitive.
Yeah.
And he had to make some decisions that were a little bit like risky and like kind of crazy
mm-hmm.
in the midst of like all this stuff that's going on with Hydra coming in and all his team just kind of fumbling, just trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
He, you know, Fury is assumed dead. At one time, Black Widow gets shot and you're like, oh snap.
Yeah.
Is she going to die too? And then at the end, he gets shot, just get riddled with, you know, Winter Soldier trying to keep him from putting in the little key card thing. And he's just like, dude, you're going to kill off Captain America? Are you really going to do this right
there
now?
There are so many times where like Captain America's life is kind of at stake because like he falls off the side of like the helicarrier.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And you think he's just falling off the side. And I mean, you really know like he's fine. He's yeah. probably found a way just to hang on. But then you think Falcon is going to go get him, but then Falcon loses a wing.
Yep.
You know, but that scene with Nick Fury, I legitimately thought he died because he was on an operating table,
yes.
you know, and they were like, yep, he's dead. And so I was like, holy crap. Nick Fury's time in these movies is done. That was pretty short lived.
That's a good run. See you, dude.
Yeah. See you, Samuel L. Jackson. There goes your pay cut, I guess.
For real.
And you're not going to be in any of these other ones. But then he comes back and my mind was blown. I was not expecting that. I was also 14,
yeah.
but were you caught off guard?
I definitely was caught off guard because I thought, once again, and I think, and I don't know how that works with the rights as far as that's concerned, but I think as far as like the origin story is concerned, I think what I was told is that Marvel's or whatever company owns at Disney right now, but like
mm-hmm.
whenever they own, they're able to do whatever they want with the characters per se,
mm-hmm.
And then just kind of change up certain things here and there. And they did a great job with the movie. So I was like, well, if they killed off Jackson, that's fine. Kill him off. He's gone. Bye.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting, definitely great plot twist, of course, towards in the movie as well, which was great, which is awesome.
It was super cool. I remember like my mouth just dropped when I saw Nick Fury was still alive. I was like, how? And I was like, well, he's
right?
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So I guess that's your answer. He's Nick Fury and that's how he lived. I mean, we still don't know.
Exactly. It's just like you said, though, you're like, super spy. He's a spy.
Yeah.
And that's just how they live. They figure out ways to overcome the worst possible scenario. And that's what it did.
So I wondered like, if it. Like, did he pay the doctors to like tell everybody he was dead? And like, did he like, I don't know.
Like, the only thing I remember them mentioning is that they said something like he had some serum that brought his heart rate down really far, that it looked on the machines that he would have been dead.
Yeah,
and they tried to use it for Banner, but it didn't work for Banner because Banner's the Hulk and that kind of stuff.
I wonder if that's what they did with Phil Coulson.
Yes.
Because in Avengers he died, Loki stabbed him, but then he came back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, love me some Coulson, dude. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s good.
I love Phil Coulson.
I heard you hadn't seen that yet. You need to see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think you need to see it because they do some ties to, I think it's Winter Soldier, and they do some ties to Civil War coming up too.
Oh, really?
Okay. So there are some ties there, like some of those early seasons do that.
Is that on Disney Plus? I don't know. I know it ran on TV for a while. Which is probably why I didn't watch it, because I never paid attention to cable.
Yeah, you're right.
Because there's all these streaming services.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
But
me either.
If it's on Disney Plus, I'm going to have to check it out. I did watch like Daredevil. I liked Daredevil.
Oh, that's great.
I don't think I watched season three, though. But I did watch the first two.
I can't remember what happened in the third season, but I like that series out of the ones on Netflix were great, though.
Yeah. And I tried like some of the other Defenders-related TV shows, but I just couldn't really get into all of them.
Which is totally understandable.
I am really looking forward to some of the Disney Plus shows coming up, like Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh, yes.
You know, like you see this, like their relationship kind of started in this. And I really love the addition of Falcon in this movie. Falcon was always one of my favorites. Like, even before Winter Soldier, I always thought he was cool.
I thought his introduction was great too. When he threw down his little, like manila folder and was like, consider this my resume. And Captain America's like, I thought you said you were a pilot. He's like, I never said I was a pilot.
Yeah.
And then he's got the wings, you know, and I was like, all right, this is sweet.
Yeah, so I like their relationship. Like in the beginning, you see that he's like, I'm on your left.
Yes.
He's like, don't say it, don't say it. When he comes around so many times because the dude's so fast.
Yes.
And then at the end where Captain America's like on the hospital bed and Falcon's sitting right there, he's like, on your left.
that was
great. But Falcon is awesome. But we've never seen like that, the red and white suit. You know, I always wanted to see that.
Yes.
But it probably would look a little bit ridiculous on screen.
I think you're right. Just,
they made it look a little bit more like military.
Yes.
You know, but there are some like cool characters like in this movie, like Falcon, who is added. Winter Soldier is a great villain.
Yes.
I kind of want to see like more of that Winter Soldier. We just now see Winter Soldier with like a machine gun.
Exactly.
But Black Widow is really cool in this movie. I always thought it'd be super cool Hawkeye were in it, just because, you know, he's super tight with Black Widow.
Yeah, he's got that spy vibe too that I feel like he would have jumped in fairly easily, but I don't know if that was something that just couldn't do budget wise, whatever, how that works. But
I've heard a lot of people, they say things like, why weren't the Avengers in this movie? Like, this was a pretty big deal. And the directors came out with some answers saying, like, this movie took a spanned amount of time of like 3 days, and they didn't have enough time for like all of them to get there or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Thor's probably in Asgard, so you can't just call him up.
Yep.
Hey, bud, could you come down here real quick? We need you.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
And Tony Stark's probably being super narcissistic somewhere.
He's doing
something about himself.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Probably dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder from Avengers.
Yes.
And then Bruce Banner probably hiding in a cave.
Yep.
You know, it's probably
it's
hard to locate these dudes. But Hawkeye is probably just right around the corner.
Hanging out at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters or something.
Yeah, because that's where he was in Thor. You know, you see him, he's just with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
So it's like, why was he not there? I always wondered that. I mean, it doesn't affect how much I like this movie, but I think it'd be cool to see like what they would have done with Hawkeye in the movie.
Yep. Extra added bonus, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect.
And then at the end, you see, and this has really nothing to do with the movie, but Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, like we talked about that earlier. And it's cool to see them as well. But I don't know, am I missing any characters?
They got Crossbones ends up coming up later on. So he is kind of like the foreshadowing. You see that there. One of the characters that I remember seeing, because like I said, I love watching I even watch some of the cartoons. I really don't care, but I watch some of the cartoons that are on Disney Plus right now too, trying to catch up. And one of the ones I watched was Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one.
One of the guys on there, Armin Zola, was the one where he goes into the bunker and there's the guy on the TV and he's connected with all the technology because he had that terminal illness back in the day before Captain America captured him.
Mm-hmm.
And he put himself into like a program.
Yeah.
And he stalled to keep them there so that the ballistic missile could come hit. But Armin Zola comes back, at least in Avengers Assemble, and he's got this, he's got a big TV on his stomach. It's like, and he just kind of controls things. He comes and creates these things. He's just one of those super intelligent beings that just kind of continues to create stuff too.
That scene, like where you're talking about when they were in that bunker, it's probably because I was 14 and it's not like this anymore, but I remember like being like kind of scared in a way, because they go in like this super mysterious bunker, which, I mean, it's not mysterious because I think that was the same one in the first Avenger.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, is something going to come around the corner?
You're right, though.
You know, like what's about to happen?
And it's creepy because he puts in the little USB thing and then all of a sudden everything starts powering up.
Yeah.
And then it names their names and then he starts talking to them like
they're... It's just kind of, it's eerie in a way, you know? It's cool, but at the same time, but and that's an interesting scene.
Yeah, and that was a good lead because I actually realized watching the second time, because I didn't see it the first time, how it leads into Winter Soldier and how, or not Winter Soldier, Civil War, because it shows Howard Stark being eliminated. Like, doesn't show it, but like it shows that he was one of the targets for Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, snap. I didn't realize that that was there. I could have seen
that. I don't
know
coming. If I caught that.
No, I didn't catch it until all of a sudden he starts listing off, starts showing off like all the different projects or missions that he went on. And it showed Howard Stark. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, that's where it is. Because it ends up being revealed later on that Winter Soldier did that in Civil War. And I was like, totally missed it before.
Yeah.
Totally missed it.
Huh. Well, one of the, it's not necessarily a character, but can't remember his name. But I like that Robert Redford's in this movie. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He was, I can't remember the name of the character he played, but he's a good actor. I just thought it was cool that he was in these movies and then they brought him back in Endgame, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
But they do, there's one scene, it's super quick and like really subtle how they do this. They're on a rooftop interrogating this dude and he's hinting at there are other like enhanced individuals.
Yes, I remember.
And he just names people off super quick. And like some of them, I don't quite know who they are, but he said Stephen Strange, which is Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. He said, let me look here.
I think he said Bruce Banner too.
He did say Bruce Banner. He also said, this is the one that I got super excited about. He said the man in Cairo, which he's referencing Cairo, Egypt, which would be Moon Knight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Which is, that's far off. Oh, that's good.
Moon Knight is one of my favorites. Like, we haven't seen him yet, but they confirmed a Disney Plus TV show for him.
Saw that.
So I will definitely be watching that. He's like Marvel's Batman.
Yes.
You know? And then there was another one. He said, like, some high school valedictorian.
Yes, I remember in, that, too.
In, Iowa City or something, something weird like that. But I have no idea who that is.
I think I initially thought Spider-Man, but I was like, no, Spider-Man, I think, is in, like...
Queens.
Queens, New York. So yeah. It's like, nope, couldn't be him. Especially Iowa.
I heard a high school student, and then I was like...
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, Spider-Man. Nope.
Nope. But then they referenced Spider-Man and Ant-Man at the end, where they were like, we have a guy that can climb walls. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Spider-Man.
True, yeah.
If it's not, like, Miles, you know, but definitely has to be Peter Parker.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's super cool. But one of the things that I really like about this movie is the score. It's incredible. And you and I, we both do music. So I thought that'd be cool to bring up, the part that sticks out to me so much is like when they're fighting, and I don't really know how to describe this at all, but there's like this sound, I guess, that's like super high pitched.
Yes. And it's like this eerie, like,
it's like
piercing.
The best noise I can try to do is like,
yes, every time Winter Soldier. Oh, that's great. Yes. That's
I love that. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they did that sound or whatever. Or who's, I wonder if Hans Zimmer was the
writer for this one. I can't remember.
I want to look it up real quick, because I'm pretty sure it is Hans Zimmer. I know he's done like something.
I know. I would say Zimmer or Gregson Williams if I was thinking that. But like that, I do remember that. That noise, that sound. I remember it when it came through when he fought Fury. When Fury came by the first time.
Yes. Like when the car flipped.
Yes. When he stepped aside, you heard it. I was like, oh, snap. Something's crazy right now. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is.
It's like, we haven't heard anything like that in, it says it's Henry Jackman.
Okay. Okay.
I don't
recognize him.
Sounds like Hans Zimmer had something to do with it, though.
You know, some of these guys are predecessors too, or like apprentices to some of these other big guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he might have done some work on it, but I don't think he was the main composer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was Hans Zimmer, though. Are you familiar with Hans Zimmer?
Yes.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A Gladiator, Pirates of the Caribbean, that kind
he
of stuff.
He does a lot of the Christopher Nolan movies.
Yes. Batman.
Yeah, he does Batman. I think he did like Inception, Interstellar, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's the score in this movie, I think, is really cool. Yes. It's one of my favorites. Like, I could probably just like
put it in my car and listen.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It'd be, I've done that with some movies. Like, I don't know. Did you see Us?
No, I did not. That is like one of my next things to see, actually.
Yeah,
I've
seen that a few times. I saw it like twice in theaters and a couple of times on like when it came out in DVD. Mm-hmm. I've like legitimately listened to the score of that movie in my car.
And you, but the cool thing is you could see, and you could see the scene happening like yeah. in your brain. Like,
yeah.
oh, I remember this part. I remember this part. This is great.
Yeah. Like, especially like with Avengers Endgame, you can just put on Portals and you're like, I'm crying right now.
Yes, right, right. I'm just sitting there watching them come up, and that's the best.
I love the music in the Avengers movies, but the score in Captain America: Winter Soldier is dope.
Dynamite. Yes, it's awesome. Incredible. It is incredible.
Yeah. Is there anything you dislike about this movie?
That's extremely hard. I can't. I'm trying to think of things that happen. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine saying something bad. I mean, I guess like when there was a slower scene, maybe they could have picked it up. But at the same time, it was very essential to the movie. Mm-hmm. It was essential to the character development, showing what's happening. Everything just kind of gripped you in every different way. And it's like,
yeah, I can't think of anything that I dislike about this movie. Like, there's like stupid little nitpicks I have about Civil War, but I think I like Civil War better than this movie. Mm-hmm. Just because
I would agree too,
but just because you see all the cool characters and everything in that movie, I think the Captain America trilogy gets better as it goes.
Yes,
but it's like First Avenger, great movie, Winter Soldier, awesome, Civil War, just like right above awesome.
Yes,
you know. So I mean, Winter Soldier and Civil War are super close. Like, I've gone back and forth with it before, which I like better, but I always end up picking Civil War.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the crazy part about that is when my brother and I went to go see Civil War together, mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, both of us walked out of the theater, and my brother's like, dude, man, that was so good. What team you would have picked? I was like, dude, I'm totally team Cap. And he's like, I'm team Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? No way. And so, like, we both had different views, and we, like, talked about how, no, dude, I was like, I don't need to register for the government. I have superpowers, dude. I was like, yeah. I will help you. And my brother's like, no, man, you guys need to be put in check. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, the debate behind Civil War is interesting. Like, I've pre-recorded the Civil War podcast way in advance. Mm-hmm. And so I did that one a few days ago. And we talked about that in depth, obviously, because it was that movie. And when I first saw Civil War, it was like, I was pretty much like, I was like, yeah, team Cap. Obviously, the Avengers need to be in control. Mm-hmm. And then I keep watching that movie over and over as the years go by, and I'm like, I totally see where Iron Man is coming from.
Maybe I need to check it out again. Maybe I need to watch it again.
And there was one time I was like, definitely Team Iron Man. And now I'm at the point where I'm just like, I'm totally neutral in the whole thing. No, it's like, idea. I don't care. Captain America's got a great argument. Iron Man's got a great argument. Yes. They're both coming from super subjective places. So, I mean, they both make sense. I can see the pros and cons. It's like, ultimately, I just don't know which group of pros and cons are better.
Yeah, but you know? how awesome of a catalyst was Captain America: Winter Soldier to
yes.
get to that? Because I mean, it didn't get heated until at the end of Civil War mm-hmm. when Iron Man found out, dude,
yeah.
this was all Winter Soldier's fault, and it's like, shoot, oh, it's time to go. Everyone's going yeah. crazy.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna kill you. That's the end of the story. Sorry.
Yeah, and the cool thing about these two movies is they kind of have like a similar formula for the plot. Almost like the end battle or the final battles of both of them are super deep.
Yes.
And they're more personal.
Yes.
Whereas all the other battles are more, you know, flashy mm-hmm. and all this, you know, super cool fight choreography. Like mumbo jumbo, whatever, and yeah, but it's awesome. But
point.
Then it's like they ground it at the end, mm-hmm. and Civil War. It's you would think that the airport battle would be the final thing,
yeah.
but it's not, you know. And then Winter Soldier, it's just Captain America and Bucky.
Yeah,
so I think that's it's cool how they kind of I don't know what word I'm looking for.
No, but you're right. You're right. That how it sets it up, that personal battle at the end mm-hmm. is the key, the iconic part of
yeah.
the entire, like, the movie. Like,
and they both, they revolve so much around the Winter Soldier.
And it just changes it. Because you see, like, you're right. Winter Soldier changes the relationship between Bucky and Captain America. Again, mm-hmm. renews it, because you see at that end post-credit scene where Bucky comes back into the museum and is looking, kind of reading the bio, reading everything again.
Yeah.
Kind of renewing yourself, whereas at the end of Civil War, it's like, dude, we're gonna part ways. I can't deal with you anymore. And they're mm-hmm. like, there's a rift between those two now. Which you're right. It's a huge personal battle. Then it's not only just like fighting to kill. It's just fighting to do. This is totally relationship based.
Yeah. At the end where Winter Soldier, I guess, goes and grabs Captain America out of the water. Do you think he remembered that was Steve? Because they've kind of talked about it and it's really ambiguous, but I don't know.
I think because there's the part where he says Bucky and he's like, who the heck is Bucky?
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out.
Is that like when his mask comes off? Is that what you're talking about?
That's when he pulls his bridge. Mask off. Yes. Yeah. And so he's confused and he even goes back into like the chair and they're like, reset him and try to do it again. And I think coming back every time that Captain America mentions something from their past, he gets kind of re-brought back. So at that end scene where he finally goes into the water, he had said, you know, I'll be by your side. I think something to the effect of like, I'll be by your side. I'll be with you the whole time. Him pulling him out of the water. I think he
said something like, I'll be with you to the end of the line.
Yes,
it was like they quoted the first Avenger or something like that.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. And so when he pulls him out, I think that Bucky is more curious than anything else.
Yeah.
And so he's like, somehow this dude and I connected and I have no idea how, which is why he leaves him there.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I hope you're alive. Okay, bye. I'm out.
That's kind of what's going on. It's kind of the same page I'm on, because I kind of feel like Winter Soldier has like some feeling that he just kind of knows him, like there's something familiar, but he doesn't quite know what it is. So like you said, like he's just kind of curious. You know, I think that's a good way to put it. But yeah, I like how ambiguous that ending is, where they leave it off and it's just kind of like, does he remember? Does he not? And then they never really ultimately resolve that specific part. I mean, you know that he eventually remembers him, but even in Civil War, when you see, he's like, why did you pull me out of the water? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, beats me. Who cares?
Exactly.
You're here now, aren't you?
That's all that matters. You're alive. Okay, we're good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, but I think this movie is incredible and it holds up really well.
Yes.
And you could just like, I could just put this movie on and watch it, you know, and not have to tie it in anything else.
No,
I can pretty much do that with all the Captain America movies.
I've watched it enough times now that I'm like, yep, this is my movie. I can just throw it on if I want to just watch, just binge, whatever.
Yeah.
Just always picking up on stuff all the way through. Yeah. One of the cool Easter eggs that I remember hearing about was when they're in that bunker again.
Mm-hmm.
She puts in the USB and then she says, do you want to play a game? Is that a reference to Saw?
I don't know.
Because I'm trying to, it's been a while since I've seen the first Saw movie, but
I actually haven't seen any of the Saw movies.
Really?
Yeah.
So I think there's a reference. She says, do you want to play a game? Because that's when the screen starts popping up, and then she turns around to Captain America and is like, yeah, it's a scene from a movie. He's like, yeah, whatever, I've already seen it.
Yeah.
Something like that, like almost blowing it off. And I was like, I think that was a reference to what?
I like when movies do that. Like, it's totally off topic, but the other day I watched American Psycho for like the second time, I think.
Yeah.
And Patrick Bateman, who's played by Christian Bale, is, you know, the main character, and he's this serial killer of a dude. And Bateman's last name is like Bateman Hotel from Psycho in 1960, with Alfred Hitchcock movie. And I mean, that was, I think it was Norman Bateman or something like that. And in American Psycho, it's Patrick Bateman. And they say, they say some line, I feel like, that kind of referenced Psycho.
Yes.
And I mean, the movie's called American Psycho, but I mean, I think that's pretty cool. Totally off topic, but like, I see what you're saying about Easter eggs, like how they may or may not have referenced Saw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But there's also in that same scene, you talk about the bunker where the computer dude,
yes,
forgot his name, but he says something to Black Widow and like he knew exactly when she was.
Yes.
What did he say? It was like he knew her birthday or something like that.
Yeah, but you're right. Like something about he knew her full name, when she was born, where she had been, I think you're right, like where she'd been taken from or where she had been.
And Red Skull did the same thing in Endgame where he was like, this is your parents' names. And Hawkeye was like, are you only believing him because he knew your parents' names? And she was like, well, I didn't know their names.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know, I feel like we're going to get to learn a lot of stuff about her and her movie.
I'm looking forward to that Black Widow.
I'm super excited for that movie. And I think that Black Widow is going to be the most similar movie we get to this one, The Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Like it seems like it's got like that spy thriller vibe, you know, and we haven't really, Civil War in a way is like that, but it's still like Avengers 2.5 in a way.
That's exactly how I think about it.
Yeah. It's definitely Captain America movie, but it's definitely Avengers movie at the same time.
Yeah.
But Winter Soldier is really the only true political thriller or spy thriller, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I feel like Black Widow is going to mimic that.
I think you're right, and I hope so, because I do too. That's what I want. I want
it looks awesome.
And I mean, it's hard to top Endgame where that was and where it ended. But there's got to be a restart somewhere as far as bringing things back in, new Avengers, new things going on. And I think that would be an awesome restart.
Yeah, and with picking things back up after Endgame, like the first one coming out was Black Widow, and I feel like they need some sense of like something that's familiar.
Yes.
But then right after that is Eternals, and I have no idea what that's going to be like. Dude, I don't know anything about the Eternals.
I know minimal, just based off of the cards, and then even in those. Like when they would show like power ups and stuff, of course their powers are all the way to the heightened, and you just say like infinity or whatever. And
yeah.
Like, this person just watches over this. This person can control all this, and you're like, well, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's going to be like.
Extremely interesting.
Yeah, but then the rest of Phase 4, so we've got Black Widow, the Eternals, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is going to be pretty cool, I think. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, I'm pretty sure this is confirmed now that Sam Raimi he's the director of the Spider-Man trilogy with Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
Is now directing that movie.
Let's go.
And it's multiverse. It's like, is Tobey Maguire coming back?
Right?
And he's going to meet Tom Holland. That would be sick.
That would be awesome.
Even though I don't care for Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Exactly. But like,
it'd be cool.
I mean, a nerdy Peter Parker.
Sam Raimi, of all the people to bring in for a multiverse movie, it's got to happen.
They got to bring it in.
They got to start a live action Spider-Verse. It's going to be great.
I love seeing all that stuff too on Disney Plus, like the Loki coming in, Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm excited for that show. I'm really excited for Moon Knight.
Yes, that one too.
I'm excited for, there was a She-Hulk series that was announced.
WandaVision, of course.
Yes. That was another. Of course, there were some other ones.
But those were real good. Just right off the bat.
Yeah.
Coming up too.
There's a Loki TV show. Yes. They cast Owen Wilson for that. I just got to hear him say, wow. And then I'll be happy.
And you'll be good.
Yeah. And then after Doctor Strange, there's Spider-Man 3. Super pumped for that. Spider-Man's my favorite. And then Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
And they just cast Christian Bale.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the girl that plays Valkyrie says that he's going to be the villain.
Like any idea what... speculation as far as what the film might be?
And they also just announced that the Guardians are going to be in Thor, Love and Thunder.
Sweet.
So some people think he's going to be Adam Warlock.
Warlock is a... Okay, so when they first announced Infinity War, my brother and I were like, Adam Warlock has to be in there because he's a huge part of it, just in general, and he's one of those cosmic beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like bad that turns good kind of thing, realize it, but... The Adam, if they were to insert him now, I'm totally 100% behind that. That's totally okay, because he is another extreme superpower, kind of like Thanos, that like can do some serious damage.
Yeah, and then two of the other theories. This one I don't really care much about this one, but it was Better Ray Bill.
Okay,
and then the one that I would be totally down for is Silver Surfer.
Yes, that would bring back your Fantastic Four easily,
and tie in Galactus as the next new big bad.
You're right. You're right.
That'd be cool.
You
could also probably tie in Galactus with Adam Warlock in some way.
Yeah, probably.
But
you know, it's funny though. As you say those, the one that probably seems closest to the Asgardians is Better Ray Bill. As much as we may not
they kind of tied in Adam Warlock in Guardians 2.
You're right.
So, and I don't know. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that. Christian Bale is awesome.
Yes.
He's already Batman. He's been Batman in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going to be in the Marvel universe at the same time, that's sick. I mean, there's been so many people that have done that.
So good.
But I'm really looking forward for that.
That's so good.
That's going to be awesome. But yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of stuff coming out to look forward to. But yeah, so one thing that I started doing this on the last episode is ranking where I've put the movie each episode that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to update that. And so basically, this is where the Winter Soldier falls in my ranking. So
there's 10 movies we've gone through now. At number 10, the bottom, is Captain Marvel. Deserves to be there. It sucks. Iron Man 2 at number 9. Thor the Dark World at number 8.
Number 7, The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, yep.
Number 6, Thor, which I think this is a jump here. I really like the first Thor movie.
Okay, yeah.
And then 5, Iron Man 3.
Yep.
4, Captain America the First Avenger.
Okay.
3 Iron Man.
Yep,
2, iconic, yeah. 2 Captain America the Winter Soldier, and 1 The Avengers.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's a good, that's a solid list as far as the ones that you've done already. That's Avengers was a totally game changer for me. I did not want to see it because, like I said, I was a big X-Men fan. And I was like, Avengers, what is that like? The Wasp and Captain America and Hawkeye. I was like, come on, those are just like humans. But I think the way they did the movie was amazing.
It's incredible. I love that movie. And sometimes I want to put the Winter Soldier above Avengers, but I got to give it to Avengers. But
you're right. You're right. When you went to go see it, dude, it was the first massive, great superhero mashup.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, yes.
Nothing had been like built towards something like that before.
Exactly.
Like I know you're a big X-Men fan, but like the first X-Men movie was just X-Men.
Exactly.
Everybody had their origin story in that movie.
Yeah. And there was no particulars on the side. And when my brother called me and he was like, you need to go see Avengers. I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to see that. He's like, yes, you need to go see it.
You
right
got to see
He's
it.
Like, you'll be very impressed. I was like, okay. And when I went to see it, seeing all those characters from those other movies come in, I was like, okay, this was an amazing setup. I don't know who did this, but this is incredible.
So like, did you watch all the other ones leading up to that, like when they were out in theaters and stuff?
I did. So I watched, even like the previous Hulks that they had too. So I watched all the ones with Eric Bana and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
And then Incredible Hulk, I thought Edward Norton did a good job. They couldn't keep him, whatever, no big deal.
Mark Ruffalo's good too.
Ruffalo's a beast. He did an awesome job with that. Iron Man, that was a huge, a big bestseller. I remember seeing it at Super Bowl. And then just advertisement after advertisement. I was like, man, when are we going to get done seeing this? And then the movie came out. I was like, oh, that's why, because it's that good.
Yeah.
And just kind of continuing to see Thor. I had to see Thor. I was like, I had a bunch of people bash on Thor, but at the same time, I was like, dude, it's Thor. I was like, you got to see Thor.
Yeah.
And I think I liked how you and, was it Isaac? I think that was on here before, had touched on how I liked the first Thor, not necessarily the funny Thor at the end, because the first Thor was very naive and just kind of like trusting and just like did stuff like, more of these breaking
Yeah.
Like that's the Thor I wanted more of.
Yeah.
As opposed to like now he's trying to crack jokes a little bit more. They're trying to figure out how to incorporate him to be the funny guy. But that cool as what was great as well. And then leading up to Avengers, just an amazing movie in and of itself and jam packing so much greatness into one movie was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Phase 1 group of movies the most, but like the Thor movies, I feel like when it comes to the tone, it's hard to figure out what to do with Thor because you got to balance Earth and Asgard, two completely different settings.
Exactly.
So it's hard. Like, I get why the Thor trilogy is kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the first Thor movie that's like, is it serious? Is it funny? I kind of like, I'm able to separate it, I can look at them both objectively and put them in the same movie and it's okay for me. The Dark World,
That one kind of was like, whoa. Yeah.
Ragnarok, too goofy for me. Most people love it, totally understand it.
You're right.
It's like, it's Ragnarok. It's supposed to be the Asgardian apocalypse, and it's funny.
For me, Ragnarok had that almost, it's almost like they had a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe.
Yes.
Because they did the old school music, and like you said, bright and colorful.
They had like Zeppelin in there, too.
It was different. It was different.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like from the beginning, but maybe that's what they wanted to go with. Maybe that's what they wanted to change it up with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they saw like people like the Guardians movies and they're like, that's what we can do with Thor. Let's hire Taika Waititi and he'll do great.
Exactly.
and he did a great job. I think it's a good movie. I just like the first Thor better. I like the direction of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but 100%. But yeah, where you put Winter Soldier in comparison to like Avengers, just being where Avengers is and how it worked there is a great setup too. Because I mean, Winter Soldier is probably one of my favorite just solo
movies there. Totally.
But I mean, you just threw in all the superheroes. Avengers, there you go.
Yeah, totally. I mean, of the 9 that I've gone through so far, like Avengers is definitely my favorite. But like you said, Captain America the Winter Soldier is definitely one of the better like solo movies. It's hard to, like, you can say that about Civil War, but again, it is still Avengers 2.5.
Man, it is.
But Spider-Man Far From Home is one of my favorites.
That one is good.
That's a good solo. And Iron Man.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, Marvel usually does great with what they put out. There's like 2 times where I feel like it's just like Captain Marvel and Thor the Dark World. They're just not that great.
No.
Captain Marvel being the worst of the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Marvel is, they're pumping stuff out like crazy.
And they have an unlimited supply though.
Yeah. It's insane. Like you can do that with DC, but Marvel has so many characters and so does DC, but I don't know. Marvel.
You're right. I feel like Marvel got the jump. ahead, mm-hmm. and DC's trying to kind of catch up a little bit. And they've done some well with some of their later movies, and they're still once again trying to catch up.
DC was trying to do like this universe, couldn't really pull it off. So they're like, let's just do solo things. And I think they're getting back on their feet.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey was good. Did you see Birds of Prey?
I haven't seen that yet.
It was good. Joker was great. Yep, like you said, you hadn't seen that.
Nope, I got
to
see that
too. Definitely need to see Joker. Put Joker above your list on Us.
Okay.
They're both great. But yeah, I mean, DC's, they're starting to get a little better. Shazam was good.
I did like that a lot.
Yeah. And Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Aquaman. But everything like Justice League and before.
Just didn't work so well.
But yeah, Marvel's doing great. And now they've got Disney Plus on their side. So it's like only getting better for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious to see like what's going to happen after like Phase 4 from here on out, because they're introducing characters that people aren't super familiar with. Exactly. It's like, are they going to make as much money?
Yes.
But it's got Marvel's name though. Like, you know, like Marvel is that name. So it's like, oh, we'll see that. Sure. Why not?
Yep.
You know, yep. So
it's funny because I had a student looking at my Marvel encyclopedia the other day, because I have that stash at school just in case I need to do some light reading. But as you just turn through, and there's so many different sagas, especially involving the Avengers.
Yeah.
They have, I mean, there's so many different directions they can go. And there's a couple ones that I'm like partial to. I'm like, man, they should do this. They still have like the Secret Wars. They all kind of, I mean, the Skrulls are still a part of this whole thing too.
Yeah.
So that might be a direction that they go, Secret Invasion with the Kree and the Skrull.
There's so many.
There's just a things. Lot.
Secret Wars, they could do that.
Yeah.
They could do Civil War Part 2.
Right.
Let's just not use Captain Marvel that much.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny because, like, you say that about Captain Marvel, but, like, you're right. Like, they made that movie so huge that she was going to be the savior in Endgame. And they barely used her.
Exactly.
And I was kind of like, all right.
I don't know if this is your problem with Captain Marvel. Like, you don't like the movie, I'm assuming.
Not as much as I would like to.
Yeah. And my biggest problem with it is just like, what are her powers? Like, you could go in the comics and find out, but the movie doesn't explain it.
You're right.
You know, it's like, I know she's like some powerhouse for energy. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Like, cool. You can shoot energy out of your body, but what does that mean?
Yeah. How does that allow you to fly? How does that allow you to like use, like,
right.
how you power up that way? Like,
she's allowed to fly because she's a pilot.
Yeah. And she's superhuman too. Like super, like strength too. And you're all these things are combined, but yet you couldn't really take out Thanos mm-hmm. when you needed to. It had to be somebody else with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Because we all thought, all right, Marvel's coming in. All right, sweet. She beats him down. And we're like, it's over now. Great. Yeah. This is what we wanted. And then it wasn't. I definitely see how that could be a huge issue in general.
Yeah. I feel like they need to look at Winter Soldier as the movie, as like a something, like a reference to, like, if we did something wrong, how can we make it like this?
This one, yeah.
This movie's great, and I feel like everybody can agree. Like, I think a lot of people even put Winter Soldier above, like, some of, like, the great movies in this universe. Like, some people put it above, like, all of the Avengers movies. Some people say it's the best. Some people say, like, Guardians of the Galaxy Endgame, but, like, there are some people that do say that the Winter Soldier is the best of the whole franchise.
I loved it,
man. And I won't argue with him about that.
Yeah.
You know?
And even like what you mentioned before, it is a darker movie.
Mm-hmm. It's more serious.
Yeah, it's more serious. Darker movie for Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, with all these like potential deaths and betrayals and infiltration. And like you said, political agendas there too.
Yeah.
It was just so incredible though.
It's like, it's just more real.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not, like we said before, it's not like something goofy in space. It's not machines. It's not a giant Hulk, or it's not, mm-hmm. you know, a Norse god. It's just Captain America. The dude had this like injection, and now he's this yoked dude.
He's jacked.
Yeah. Like in Civil War, you see him trying to pull that helicopter back. It's like, how is your arm not snapping in half?
Well, it's the same thing like in the elevator scene. I mean, he puts that magnetic thing on his wrist and he yanks it off.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, still hammering on these guys in the elevator.
Captain America is a beast. And like, I used to not like him as much. Until this was the movie that really did it for me.
Exactly.
And then Age of Ultron, like, I didn't like him as much then. Civil War, I thought he was cool. But then Endgame, when he picked up Mjolnir, I've said this so many times. That's my favorite scene in the entire franchise.
Oh, of course.
Love that scene. I wanted to stand up and clap. I was clapping. Couldn't stand up because I was like, the people behind me are going to be really irritated.
No, that was the first, I probably was very one of the first times I audibly yelled something in the movie
mm-hmm.
is when he picked up Mjolnir and I was like, all right, you guys better not screw this up now. Like, and I yelled it though.
Yeah.
And like, the people next to me were like, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. And I was like, right. Come on now. They're like, we were all just pumped, like clapping us. It was crazy.
Yeah. And like, you can go to a theater and you can like, if you yell in a movie, it's usually not acceptable.
No.
But when that happens, everybody's totally on board because everybody's yelling.
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, everybody's cheering, yep. crying, oh, clapping. So it's good. Awesome. I love how people just do that in these movies.
That was such a roller coaster too.
Yeah. And I'm usually like, I don't like sports and all that type of stuff. So I'm not usually one to just like cheer for a thing. But this is the only thing I can do that with. And it's the only time I'm okay with a big group of people doing the same thing like that, you know? Every other thing is just like, no, thank you. Why do you guys like this?
Right.
If you like Captain America picking up Mjolnir, we can all cheer. I don't care. All 8 billion people on the planet. Let's cheer for Captain America.
There it is.
So yeah, I think this is an awesome movie and, it's definitely one of my favorites in this franchise.
Sure. For sure.
But yeah, I've had a lot of fun, doing this podcast with you today.
Thanks for having me. I was stoked when you asked me to come. So this has been a pleasure for sure.
Yeah, totally. So where can people find you on social media?
I am on Twitter and Instagram, at TMOAudio, TMOAUDIO. Got to try to do a little bit more on there, but just trying to do a lot of music scene there, trying to keep up with, a lot of music, of course, that we like and things like that.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going on and try to keep up with things. So
cool. Yeah. You guys should definitely check out, Tim's social media accounts. And Tim, once again, thanks for joining me today.
Dude, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Be sure to follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mullican, McNeilMullikin. No spaces or capital letters. Letterboxd is where I post the movies I watch and write reviews. You can also follow me on Instagram at _McNeil, followed by 2 more underscores. This is where you can send me your feedback and let me know what you think of Captain America the Winter Soldier and the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general. You can follow the McNeil and Friends podcast on Instagram at mcneil.and.friends.podcast. Also, if you're interested in joining for an episode, send me a message through Instagram on either account, and I'd be glad to work something out with you. Lastly, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Patreon and support this podcast by becoming a patron if you so desire. If you made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations, and once again, thank you for listening.